Nothing like being put on the spot, eh, Karen? If we had announced last week that Kathy would randomly pick a visitor to sing, we probably wouldn't have had too many people come today. Well, there are other people here that can actually, Tim, you don't have a bad voice either, you know? Okay, all right. Next year, right, Tim? Next year. Okay. Well, we're in Luke 2 this morning. Familiar passage, I'm sure. That's kind of why I didn't read it. We'll read it while we go through it. Luke 2. We have been looking at, over the course of Advent, the sermon series has been Christmas Isn't Christmas Without, and looking at the things that are a little less familiar than what we're used to looking at in the account of Jesus's birth. We looked at John the Baptist. It's really hard not to have John the Baptist really involved in the story, because that's really how it all begins, right? In Luke 1, John the Baptist. And then we looked at the angels. They're very prominent. And then we looked at the bad guys one Sunday. And then last week I talked about Jesus being the gift. And then this week we're talking about the glory of God this morning. And it's actually one of the most astonishing, really, events that happened in the account here in Luke chapter 2. Verse 9 says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Like the glory of the Lord, like this is huge. And we just read right past this every Christmas. And it's one of the most amazing things, I think, in the whole account. And when we understand what the glory of God is and what's going on here, I think we'll be quite amazed at what we've missed all these years. So let's pray as we open up the Word of God. Father, we're grateful for the opportunity to stand here, for others to join us on Zoom and to be here in person, to just worship and hear from you and be encouraged in our walk with you. Lord, glorify yourself as we talk about your glory this morning, but also as we work toward the end of the message, we'll see how you are wanting to reveal your glory, not only just through creation, not just through the word, but strangely enough, through us, that we are to reflect your glory in this world that we live in. So give us wisdom and guidance by your Holy Spirit as we work through this passage and focus on this aspect in the passage. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, so often we hear the Shekinah glory, okay? We hear this, so the glory of God, the physical evidence of the manifestation of God as revealed a few times in Scripture is referred to as the Shekinah glory. The word Shekinah, it's a Hebrew term that means dwelling. And really, it's God showing that he's dwelling with his people, you know, temporarily at least. He's come. He's showing that he's his greatness. You know, it's something you can't just look at very long. It's something that causes fear. It's something that is so magnificent, you can't really look at it. And so the appearance of the Shekinah glory of God at the birth of Jesus communicated a number of things to the people of God. They should have understood a few things as this happened. And so we're going to see the connection that the glory of God has to Jesus's birth, and what they should have grasped, what the people of God should have grasped at the time. And so we're going to pick that up in the familiar verse here in verse 8. There were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." So the presence of the glory of God at the birth of Jesus does a few things for us. The first thing it does for us is it communicates that God is going to lead. God is going to now lead the way for his people. And really where we get that from, where we get that understanding from and how we see it apply here is we see it way back in Exodus. So the first time we actually, well, actually not the first time, basically the second time, but the first time the glory of God appears to the Israelites as a nation, of course, is when they're leaving, right? When they're exiting out of the land of Egypt and they're on their way to the promised land. So in Exodus 13, verse 21, we read, "By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people." So the glory of God did what? It went ahead. It went ahead of the people to lead the way towards the place of the promised land where they would dwell. You know, the idea was to dwell there in peace and rest and enjoy the blessings of God. So how was God leading his people here when the glory of God appeared at the birth of Jesus Christ? Well, not surprisingly, he was leading them like a shepherd leads, just like a shepherd. This is exactly what a Jewish shepherd does. A Jewish shepherd goes out ahead of his sheep. He leads his sheep, whereas in most cultures, the shepherd is behind the sheep. He's pushing them, right? But here, he leads the sheep. And Jesus said in John 10, he is the good shepherd, and he leads his sheep how? By his voice, right? By his words, leading the way. God is not a reactionary God. God is a proactive God. He's leading. He goes ahead for us. And his presence here, who does he reveal his presence to? Shepherds. Oh, interesting. What do shepherds do? They lead. They lead their sheep. And God's glory appears to the shepherds. And shepherds, of course, know what it means to lead, you know, to go on before, to survey the dangers that might be there for the sheep, okay? And redirect them where their needs can be met. Or, right, even as we read in Psalm 23, leading them through dangerous valleys, because valleys are always dangerous because you never know what's going to be there. Things hiding, lurking, right? Good place to attack from. Psalm 23, right? Listen to Psalm 23 with the glory of God and the idea of the shepherd leading, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What had Israel been looking for the last 400 years? They were waiting for God to lead. Because God said in Malachi 3:4, at the end of the Old Testament, he said, I'm going to send my messenger who's going to prepare the way for the Messiah. And so we open up Luke chapter 1, and what do we see? God leading. He sends the angel Gabriel to Zechariah in the temple, and he tells him that his wife, Elizabeth, is going to have a child. And then he goes to Mary and tells her she's going to be the mother of the Messiah. Somewhere in there, Gabriel goes and visits with Joseph as well. And now, of course, the angels show up at the actual birth of Jesus. And so God was going ahead. God's leading. God, the people are waiting for God to make a move. He finally reveals that he's ready to do something, and his presence appears to the shepherds, and he gives them this message, right? It's time to move. God is leading once again. Of course, right, when you got that angel, which is already a kind of a scary thing, and you've got the glory of God showing up, of course, that's also a time for fear. However, what does the angel say? Don't fear, right? Classic angelology 101, how to talk to people, right? Don't be afraid, okay? Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. Now, this is interesting, okay? Because the last time the glory of God made an appearance, that anyone saw it, was way back in Ezekiel 8 through 11. And there, God showed Ezekiel that he had seen the sinful, idolatrous practice that the priests had done in the temple itself, in the place of God's presence. And he says, I'm leaving. And he shows Ezekiel that the glory of God left the temple. God departed. And so the last time the glory of God appeared was bad news for Israel, because God says, I'm walking away. I'm walking away. But now God says through his glory, he wants the people to come near. Don't be afraid. Come near. Can you see why they'd be afraid? The glory of God. Last time we saw the glory of God, it wasn't a good thing. Now it's a good thing, God says. I'm back. Okay? It's good news, not bad news. And of course, this good news means what? If the bad news was he left in Ezekiel 8 because of their sin, what's he communicating to him now? That I'm going to forgive your sins. Why else would he show up? Because he's going to forgive their sins and their suffering is going to end. He's returned. He says, come, I have good news. And who's the good news for? According to the angel, all the people, right? All people. That he appeared to everyday people, right? Shepherds, you know, Mary. He appears to a priest. He appears to Joseph. Angel appearances. You know, it means God's presence. God's, you know, the good news of his presence. He's returned. He's returned and he's communicating to everybody that I want to be with you. And so he's leading them just like the Exodus. And once again, God's going to lead his people to where? To a place where they can experience his peace. This has always been God's desire. And we just read Revelation 21, right? How does life end? Living with God. I want to be with God. God wants to be with us. He will dwell with us. So the appearance of his glory to, you know, ordinary shepherds in Bethlehem that night when Jesus was born, but it wasn't just for them, right? It was for everybody, everybody who's just like a shepherd. And so what did God want everyone to know when he showed up in the middle of that special night? That he was providing. He was providing for what we need. He was making what we available for us, what we needed. What did the people living under Herod and Roman oppression need in that time? What did Herod and Caesar Augustus, the leaders of the world, need at that time? Well, they all need the same thing, a savior. We all need to be saved. Every person needs to be saved because we all have sin. Now, shepherds are a great illustration of that because shepherds were not looked upon highly for various reasons, but a lot of them, for whatever reason, they had a bad reputation. Their word was not trustworthy. They couldn't go to the temple. If you can't go to the temple, what can't you do? Can't worship and fellowship, sure. Sacrifice. You can't get right with God. If you can't sacrifice, how are you supposed to get right with God? So you have people who are not able to come into the presence of God because they were, quote unquote, unclean. Well, Romans 3:23 says we're all unclean, right? We come short of the what? The glory of God. In other words, the presence of God. We're all there, right? We all mentally, verbally, and physically choose our way over God's, you know, in a variety of ways. I mean, that's what sin is, right? A deliberate choosing to act against the will of God. And the shepherds represent everyone, ordinary, everyday people who are what? Separated from God because we can't get to God on our own. How can we get there? God makes the way possible. And that's why the glory of God came. Now, the glory of God also communicated the separateness of God from us. So like when the glory of God appeared in the burning bush to Moses, what did God say to Moses? He says, take off your sandals because you are on holy ground, right? When the glory of God surrounded Mount Sinai and God was giving Moses the law, what did he tell Moses to tell the people? Stay away from the mountain, right? Stay away from the mountain. because this is holiness right here. This is going on here. When Moses went to meet with God in the tent of meeting, and then he came out, what did his face look like? Yeah, you could even say he glowed. Ha, ha, ha. That was Rudolph, okay? Anyway, yeah, his face glowed, right? And what did the people want him to do? Cover up. We can't look at the glory of God. And Moses' face reflected the glory of God. And God warned the priesthood not to enter the Holy of Holies except for which one? And once a year? The high priest, right? Only the high priest can enter once a year on the Day of Atonement. And so the glory of God reminded people that God is holy and we are not. And so we are to approach him carefully and under the old covenant to enter with a blood sacrifice. But now God welcomes us all. He appears to those people who are traditionally, quote unquote, unclean to communicate to them that God wants you in his presence now, and he's making that way possible. Verse 11, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is the Messiah. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So this is the good news of great joy, that because there was a separation between God and man, right? That we need something. We need a Savior. We need someone to come and take our sins to God. And of course, Jesus will do that. He will take our place. And so we have a Savior who we desperately need, because only he can give us what we truly need, which is forgiveness and peace with God. What's the message of the angel chorus? Right? Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Peace to those whom he is pleased, or his favor rests. You see what God is doing? The glory of God appears. He's communicating that I want you in my presence. I'm making a way possible through the Savior. He's coming. Okay. And so the angels communicate what God wants. God wants peace. This is who God is. You know, so many people have it backwards. They think, I've got to do something to get to God. And God says, well, it's not going to happen. So I'm going to make the way for you. I'm going to come. I'm going to come in the person of my son, Jesus Christ. He will do what you can't. He will make the way possible for you to come into my presence. I'm making that way. And you just need to believe who he is and accept what I've done for you as a gift of grace. And this is what God communicated through his glory in the Old Testament as well. When Moses and the Israelites, that the fact that he was pleased and he wanted to be people in his presence. So when Moses and the Israelites built the tabernacle the first time and they finished building the tabernacle, we read in Leviticus 9, verse 22, then Aaron lifted his hands toward the people and blessed them. Having sacrificed the sin offering, the burnt offering, the fellowship offering, he stepped down. Moses and Aaron then went into the tent of meeting. When they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. What a great picture, right? This is really great. This is really scary at the same time, because that's what God is. He's great, but he's awesome as well. And so the glory appeared to all the people. And guess what? God showed his pleasure. He approved what they had just done. Same thing happened when Solomon built the temple. Solomon finishes building the temple. 2 Chronicles 7:1, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering, the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. And when all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, he is good, His love endures forever. Again, this is a good thing, right? They were pleased. God was pleased. He was showing his approval. So God was pleased. And so the appearing of the Shekinah glory of God to the people here meant God was pleased. And he wanted to make peace with his people. And that's the message the angels give to the shepherds. God's glory left the temple at the time of the Babylonian exile to communicate what? Obviously, God was not pleased, right? I'm not pleased with the way you're living and not recognizing me, but the return of his glory, the birth of a son, God is saying, I am reaching out to you one more time. This time, everyone can see my glory, and I am going to actually walk among you. And this is what we read in John 1:14, describing Jesus. And the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth. And as if that isn't enough to communicate that the appearance of the glory of God is a good thing, there's one more appearance of the glory of God in the New Testament, where again, God communicates this as a positive thing. Matthew 17:1, the transfiguration of Jesus. After Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves, there he was transfigured or glorified before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as a light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter says to Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud, guess what that is, okay, enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud says, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, guess what they did, right? They fell to the ground, terrified. The glory of the Lord appears again to communicate God is pleased. God wants to dwell with his people. Listen to Jesus. This is how you'll get there. This is how you'll find peace with me. You don't have to be a Levite. You don't have to be a priest. You don't have to enter the temple anymore in order to see God and be in his presence. The glory of God has come. He is full of grace and truth, and we need to listen to him. And so the appearance of the glory of God at the birth of Jesus is just that. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to find peace for yourself. We read Luke 2, verse 15. What happened after that, right? When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem, see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who's lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So what did the shepherds do with the word from God? Go and see, right? Go and see. And they found Jesus exactly as God said they would. Notice God doesn't force anyone. Did he force the shepherds to like, come on, guys, you need to get there now. No, he says, you will find. It's up to you. You want to go find. You will find, right? And they found Jesus exactly as God said they would. And when you and I find Jesus and believe who he is, you know, asking God for forgiveness of our own sin, accepting him as our Lord, we receive what God says we would receive, which is peace, peace with God. What does Paul say in Romans 5, verse 1? Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have what? Peace with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access. Now, is that temple language? Probably. We have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. There it is again. So if we want true joy and we want happiness and we want inner contentment in our life, we'll only find it in God through faith in Jesus Christ. God wants to be found. He wants us to find him. He wants us to be forgiven. He wants to have his peace and joy through his Son. And once we have found him, what does he expect us to do? Spread the word. What did the shepherds do? Spread the word, don't they? When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. Think about the things that you and I talk about, right? With people, generally speaking. What are the things that we talk about? Aside from the things we're annoyed at, okay? We usually talk about the things that we're most interested in, that we're most excited about. Could it be as simple as the reason we don't talk about Jesus enough is because he's not the most important thing in our life? The more we talk about the things that are important in our life, and if we're not talking about the Lord, it's something that we're just not making a priority in our life. So obviously, when we're spending more time in his presence, praying, right, in the word, we'll be more excited about these things, and we'll spread the word, you know, more to people who need to hear that. Because if we're spreading the word, and even talking about spiritual things amongst ourselves, it's going to result in what? Again, what did the shepherds end up doing? Glorifying and praising God. If the glory of God, okay, glory being a noun, okay, if the glory of God is his transcendence and greatness, then to glorify God means to make him great, to make him more great. And many times we read in the Bible, you know, God declares his glory. God reveals his glory. He reveals his glory through the creation, how great he is. He reveals his glory through the ways he works. He also reveals his glory, surprisingly, through you and me. As our lives change and become more like his, we increase in reflecting his glory. And this is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but he ends chapter 3, verse 18, using Moses as an analogy of growing in the glory of God, because he approached God. And Paul says of us, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So Paul had been explaining, you know, that when Moses went into the presence of God, right, it was obvious he was in the presence of God because his face reflected the glory of God. And so Paul takes that analogy and he says, when you and I are in the presence of God and we're growing in God, guess what? We're going to reflect God. People are going to see that God is making a difference in our life and that we have been in his presence through the way we talk and live and so on. They may not understand that there's something different about you and I, but what they're actually seeing is a reflection of the glory of God as we allow God to change us a little bit more each and every day. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for this very familiar passage, but maybe something that we just never really grasped at the birth of Jesus, that the glory of God showed up again. Father, I thank you that you're a God. You're the only God, for one thing, but you're the God who reaches out to us. And I thank you, Lord, because I know I was never really looking for you in my own life. That you're the one who reached out to me and that you use situations and people who loved you to communicate the fact that you also wanted a relationship with me. And Lord, whether we realized it or not, you know, we don't have peace with you outside of through faith in Jesus Christ. So Lord, thank you for those of us who understand that, and pray that we would help those who don't have that to share with them, just like this as the shepherds. Lord, may they find him, may we spread the word, and then we glorify and praise you because of that. Father, I thank you again that Jesus Christ came and lived and died a sinless life and rose from the dead so that we could have eternal life. But I also praise you that in having eternal life, that we can continue to grow and reflect you on a day-to-day basis. And I pray that we would think about that as we head back to work and head back to our communities and live amongst our neighbors and just, you know, be more thoughtful and more desirous of living such a life that, one, we talk about you more, but two, we reflect you more. People will see you through us, through the way we live, the way we act, the way we speak to them. And people need that, Lord. People need hope and encouragement, especially in these days. So help us, Lord, to reflect your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.